As we say in the radio business, if you put that on the radio, people will listen to it.
All right, here it comes.
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would do well to cover their ears right about now.
Live on a little tiny microchip deep inside some electronics, broadcasting to the world through the miracle of the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is U-62, the TAR. Now your host, a man with a lifelong dream of getting paid to do this, Mark Pappas. On this week's show, it's Kill Bill, Mickey's Christmas Carol, and The Princess and the Frog. It's episode 3.13, Palindrome. So sit back, relax, grab yourself some warm root beer and a towel that's oh so fluffy. U-62 the TAR, you're in for something special.
Enjoy the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Kappas here, and welcome to this week's episode of the TAR. How y'all doing? Have you went under the Christmas tree yet and started opening any of your presents? I opened up one of my first presents the other day, and I can now say that I now officially have Kill Bill on DVD. You know, Kill Bill is one of those DVDs I've been holding off on getting it for the longest time, because many, many years ago, when it was still in theaters, we were promised that we would eventually be getting this 2-disc Super Mega Ultimate Edition, actually a 3-disc Super Mega Ultimate Edition, you know, Volume 1, Volume 2, and then all of the bonus features on one disc. But here we are, it's like, what, 7 years since the movie first hit theaters, and we don't have our Super Special Edition DVD yet. Whenever he's asked about it in interviews, Quentin Tarantino is like, oh yeah, I just wanted to take a break from the film before going back and doing all the stuff like that for bonus materials and all that. So we're like, we're just waiting. We're just waiting. But see, the thing is, the real reason why the 2-disc Super Special Edition was put off was because of that heinous DVD crime known as double dipping. You know, that's where they release one version of the DVD, and then a couple months later, they release a new version with all new bonus features, thus making you buy the DVD again. The DVD plans for Kill Bill were leaked on all the movie gossip websites. They were planning to double-dip Kill Bill like 12 times. So, of course, once word of that got around, people were all pissed off, and the DVD company was all like, fine then. We won't put out multiple versions. We'll just put out the one movie-only DVD, and that's all you get. And we were all like, aww. But Quentin Tarantino was like, I'm still going to make it someday. And we were all like, yay. So now we're waiting. Although, as I said, you know, I didn't run out and buy it myself. It was a Christmas present from a colleague, so thank you for that. I am going to enjoy it. At the very least, I can now watch Kill Bill uncensored. Whenever I watch it now, I tend to watch it on TV, and as I'm sure you can imagine, it's edited quite a bit for television. You know, I know I have to stop watching Kill Bill on TV in that opening scene. You know, the bride is in the coma there, and that sleazy guy comes in to rape her while she's in her coma, and how does he introduce himself? My name is Buck. I'm here to fuck. But then when you watch it on television, it goes like this. My name is Buck. I'm here to party. You even get the dramatic change in voice like that. So now I can finally watch Kill Bill uncensored. And once again, thank you for that Christmas present. Let's get to some Christmas songs now. Here's a little bit of Cresha Turner, Wherever You Are, on the TARG.
I'd be so happy if I could find you. A brand new day, this lonely heart makes me so blue. So I wrote to Nikki to help me find you. Find him right away so I can send my love to you. I've searched so near and far and pushed on shooting stars. I've crossed my fingers, what more can I do? I'd ask Cupid to play, but she's too far away. So I hope this Christmas brings my love and true. Wherever you are, send my love wherever you are. Wherever you are, when near far, send my love wherever you are. Wherever you are, send my love wherever you are. I could find you. It brought me day. This lonely heart makes me so blue. So I wrote to Nikki to help me find you. Find you right away so I can send my love to you.
Turner, wherever you are on U62 The Targ, good evening. Mark Kapp is still here with you. And with the holidays still upon us, you know, I was able to catch Mickey's Christmas Carol on TV the other night. That is still such a true classic. You remember Mickey's Christmas Carol, right? That's where Christmas Carol is told with all the Disney characters filling the various roles. Scrooge McDuck is, of course, Ebenezer Scrooge. Actually, because I was watching it, I sat down with the old Wikipedia there and looked up some interesting facts on Mickey's Christmas Carol. Did you know that Mickey's Christmas Carol is the very last Disney production that has all of the credits at the beginning and just the words "the end" at the end? Crazy, huh? Or another thing, Mickey's Christmas Carol was one of the very first things that John Lasseter worked on. John Lasseter, of course, the director of the Toy Story films, now the head of Disney Animation. And yeah, just a little animator grunt out of college. He got to work on Mickey's Christmas Carol. I'm such a super nerd. I actually watched all the credits last night just so I could see John Lasseter's name. But perhaps my favorite story about Mickey's Christmas Carol has to be this. It's actually based on a book and record that Disney released in the early 70s called A Disney Christmas Carol. It was produced and written by a television personality named Alan Young. So flash forward 10 years to the early 80s, Mr. Young gets word that Disney is adapting it into an animated short film. Right away, Mr. Young calls up his agent and said, "Dude, I did the voice of Scrooge McDuck on that record. You gotta get me an audition to do the voice of Scrooge McDuck for this short film." So he got the audition. Of course, he blew the directors out of the water. And of course, once he got the role up, he asked the directors, "Dude, you know, why didn't you just ask me to do this from the beginning? Because, you know, I did the voice on the original and all that." And the directors were all like, "Well, you know, since you are such a big television star and all that, we were afraid you'd say no and that doing a voice in an animated film was beneath you." To which Alan Young replied, "What? Dude, I became a television star by talking to a horse on TV for 5 years. Nothing is beneath me." Of course, Alan Young's biggest claim to fame was he was the star of Mr. Ed. And from that point on, Alan Young has been Disney's official voice of Scrooge McDuck. And now you know the rest of the story. I might have a new career there.
Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Happy holidays from U62, The Targ.
You chipmunks, ready to sing the new version of your song?
You know we are! Yeah, let's sing it now!
All right. Excellent. Simon, great work.
Naturally.
Theodore, good job. Alvin, you were a little flat. Watch it. Alvin. Alvin!
The Chipmunk Song, Please Christmas Don't Be Late, here on U62 The Targ. Afternoon all, Mark Kappas is still here with you. And before I go, I do have to talk about one thing. I just got back from the theater, well, I just got back about a week ago, where I saw Disney's much-hyped return to traditional 2D hand-drawn animation, The Princess and the Frog. And you know, The Princess and the Frog is okay, it's not too bad. You know, I'm watching the film, it's going along, tickety-boo, following the formula, and then something unexpected happens. Now, I usually like it when an animated film throws something unexpected at me, because that means the film is different. And with the one corner that The Princess and the Frog went down, my jaw dropped. I was like, did they do that? Did they just do that? Oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Now, what did they do in the film? Well, it does happen near the end of the film, so it does get a little bit spoilerish. So if you don't want to know what happens, end the podcast here, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it. Still there? Okay, here's what happens. During the big climactic battle, the villain kills the comedic sidekick. I know, crazy, right? But there it happened. But even despite that big deviation from the Disney formula, it was still fairly formulaic. You know, if this film came out in the mid-90s, when they were pumping those out once a year, we would have said it's above average. So that's my final ranking for Princess and the Frog. And that's it. That'll do it for this week's Targ. This'll be my last one before Christmas, too. So Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
And this brings us to the end of another exciting episode of The Targ. Don't forget you can download a new episode of The Targ every week at chaosinabox.com. The Targ is written and produced by Mark Kappas under the watchful eye of 42 Star Wars action figures. The Targ is a Chaos in a Box production.